Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Weather.
Lots of it.
Lots of it. Well, I mean, the wet stuff, and we've had all of that, and having almost blow dry the dogs when we get back. But they like the better weather, don't they?
They do. They really do like the better weather. Yeah, ours are all rolling around like nobody's business, having a right
What
old
are they
time.
rolling in, though?
Well, yes, there is that to it. But generally speaking, no, they're actually just rolling in grass, and they're just, you can see them all. Yesterday especially, they were just all, rolling. I think a lot of it is getting dead hair out, which that's the stuff that doesn't go all over your carpets and everything. They leave it outside. They're just feeling a bit, I suppose, spring-like, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, especially the younger ones, but it does come with its issues, doesn't it? You know, the winter long thing of preferably not going in the water means that now spring is here in the warmer weather, they will see water and go and splash in it, irregardless of what's actually in it.
Yes, I do be careful with that. I mean, a lot of the ponds at the moment are nice and full, but even so, they're beginning to drop a bit. Make sure you know, it's difficult to know what's in ponds, but make sure they don't look sort of scummy and scurfy and look a bit grim, because if it looks grim to you, chances are it is grim, and you don't want your dog drinking anything out of it. Coming out of the pond. Again, they can get quite cold, so you can dry them off or get them running afterwards. I mean, one of my dogs in particular, has been in the water recently, and she absolutely loves it. And she's at her happiest if she can hurl herself about 6 foot along into the water. So it's just knowing that there's nothing dangerous under the water sticking up and so on and so forth. And then obviously she'll come out the water and then roll. And then after rolling, you've got to then be aware, are we now getting ticks on our coat and fleas and all the other things that's lurking out there that we've got to enjoy all summer? So I
You
know there's all,
forgot the wagging first when they get out
that
of the
bit.
water to shake off all the excess water.
Yes, right next to you as
Yeah,
well.
that's the one.
Yes, right next to you. So a lot of dogs love it. Be careful, how much of it they do, because we tend to. It's that thing, we overdo stuff. We see dogs enjoying stuff and then tend to overdo it. So they can get really cold just because they like the first, jump in. Don't get them obsessed with it. And as I say, get them running around afterwards if you can. But it's not a bad thing. But just be careful what's in water, because you do hear awful stories of cut feet and all sorts of things. So I think just be aware of where you're allowing your dog to go. Or you could do, as our chum with the enormous golden retriever did the other day, just walk into the biggest, muddiest puddle you ever did see and lie down. And he got up, and it was horrific. It was literally dripping in mud. This beautiful, it was a beautiful pale golden retriever, and literally had a tide mark round him from high up his back right the way down to his
Wonderful.
toes. I know. And you just sort of stood there with your mouth open.
Yeah,
So,
you have to laugh at that sort of thing and just be thankful that you're not the owner of that particular dog.
I was very grateful, and I said, "Please don't ever ask me to put your dog in my car." So, especially when it looks like that.
That's wonderful. The other thing, of course, that comes with spring is planting of bulbs and things coming up in the garden. Now, seasoned dogs will know quite what's what and know not to go near certain things. But if you've just got yourself a puppy, they don't really know that much. So daffodils, tulips, bluebells, they all look very lovely, in the spring, but they can actually be a little toxic to dogs, can't they?
Yes, so I think the thing is, with, as you say, with your sort of regular dog that you've had kicking around for some years, they're normally fine about it. Where it goes diff it is different with puppies is that if you're in the garden and the puppy's in the garden with you're quite often drawing attention to stuff that they wouldn't ordinarily have their attention drawn to. So you might be planting, I suppose it's probably a bit late now to put too many bulbs in, but some people are. So you might be putting bulbs in a pot rather than in the ground, and then you go indoors, let the dog out again for a wee, and then go out after that and realize that your bulbs are all over the garden. And that's purely because the dog saw you plant the things in the first place and was out there with you, because again we think it's nice, let's have the dog in the garden with us. So it's just really being polite and unplanting everything for you. And with that comes, with puppies, they then pick everything up and put them in their mouth and then try and chew them, just so they just, it's all about wanting to know what the texture is, what it's like, and so on and so forth. So they, in their head, they're not doing any harm at all, but they could be doing harm to themselves, but also frightfully irritating, because you've just planted all these things and they're now being completely unplanted. So I think the cautious tale really is to be aware of what your puppy sees, because I don't think we do really realise how much our dogs see. And that's half of the problems that people get with behaviour issues, is that the dogs are watching us the whole time, and it's how we react the first time to anything. For instance, you know, if you're taking your puppy out while you're pooper scooping, the puppy soon learns to try and run ahead of you and eat the poo that you were just about to pooper scoop. So yeah. Again, the trick is leave the dog indoors. So I think if you're planting your garden or weeding or doing anything sort of that you're changing stuff, leave the dog indoors. It can come out after you've done it all.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably your better bet. Or give it something to do whilst in the garden, like chew a bone. But I think really it'll be still be watching you while it's chomping through a bone.
Still wants to come and help your garden though, but
absolutely.
Not in the same way as you'd probably want to garden, but you know, that's the puppies for it really. The other thing to do with of course this time of year, change of the seasons and weather getting warmer, we see the return of things like ticks.
Yes, I mean we haven't as yet got one on ours, but I found a couple on other people's, you know, when you sort of tickle their dog.
We've got a couple actually.
Have
yeah.
You?
Yeah.
All your dog's got a tick, and they sort of go ashen when you say that. But it does depend on where you walk. If you walk where there's been an area with previously, sort of last year, there's been livestock, that's, you're much more likely to get ticks and fleas from that than you are in an area that doesn't have livestock. So again, just lots and lots of combing really to make sure you've got any eggs and such off.
Oh, it's a morning and evening event in our house.
Good to know.
they get checked, and you know, the dead ones are pulled out, or if there's live ones, you have to deal with them. But
and I wouldn't get too hysterical about them. I
mean, no,
you know, if they're attached, just take them off and squish them and put them away. But if they're ticks, don't get any of the squishy stuff on your fingers, because it's quite toxic. So, you know, squish them between paper, but do squish them and put them in the bin. And we don't tend to use chemicals on our dogs for anything like that. And I know DEFRA are asking people not to use so many chemicals on their dogs, because similarly, as we were just talking about jumping in and out of water, it goes into the water systems, and you don't want to be killing off wildlife. So best of all, if you can deal with these things, either homeopathically or at least just with hard work, lots of grooming. So they've always been around, but I know we do get a bit upset by ticks and
well, it has that image of being not very clean, doesn't it?
It does.
And that's the problem.
And it's not that at all.
No.
It's just that they're out there and they're more concentrated in some areas. So, and remembering, you know, if your dog does jump in and out of water, that it gives them that fizzy few minutes when they get all cold and tingly. So be aware, that's the time that they're more likely to sort of jump, come out the pond, whatever it is, and charge around. Now, again, going back to wildlife and such, these things have been noted in the past, that dogs come out of a pond, run around, and then accidentally ended up in a field where there might be sheep, you know, so, but there might have been an electric wire or something, but it didn't got the first time. And the next thing is, just from the excitement of charging around, having got wet and all tingly. So, you know, be aware of where these areas are that you are walking, because the laws, they've tightened up on laws at the moment.
That was the thing I was going to come to next, actually, was the reminder about the change in the laws, because it's not just a case of, you know, if your dog gets out and chases a sheep, a farmer can use sort of all sorts of methods to deal with a dog. It goes a lot beyond that now, doesn't it?
It does, and also there, you know, it's not just a little bit of, you know, if they start fining you. It used to be, I think, £1,000 or something, but now it's an unlimited fine.
They can seize your dog as well, can't they?
They can seize your dog, and then you have to pay for the seizing costs and all that. And I think that the thing is, what it would be nice if more people said, you know, don't worry about all these laws, just take your dog to classes, take your puppy to classes, because then we wouldn't be all hooked up about them and worried about this and that, because we'd know that we do have some sort of control over our dogs. At the moment, we're seeing more posts come up with keeping your dog under control, keeping your dog out of this area, out of that area, keep it on a lead if you see somebody. And I was speaking to some dog owners today, and everybody's getting really hacked off with this, I have to say, because it is becoming very much an anti-dog society.
Well, and the other thing that's coming up with all of that are the number of, people who've learnt their dog training or training dogs just by using the internet, which is not necessarily the best place to go and get the information, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, it's not. Some of it's not correct in any way, shape, or form. A lot of dog training is just simple, as in common sense. But training classes really are always the best thing to do. But also, it's a training class is only what, an hour and a half, 2 hours maximum per week, and your week's an awful lot longer than 2 hours, and that's when you need to put knuckle down and put your practice in, and put practice into everyday things. One of the guys the other day was saying that he practices his stay command when he comes in with his dog. He sits it on the mat and tells it to stay while he goes and puts the lead away, and then he goes and gets a towel and he goes back to the dog and wipes it down. And you think, well, that there's simple things like that where you can use the commands that you've already learnt and you can expand upon them. But you've really got to put the effort in, and I think people are not nowadays. They're just thinking, oh, well, it's a quick fix, I can just train my dog instantly, and you can't.
The other thing I will add to all of that, of course, is that you get a dog for a reason, and training your dog or taking your dog to classes is a double whammy with this one. The dogs actually thoroughly enjoy it. You know, you get into the road where the dog school is and the dogs go bonkers. They really want to get in there, let me in there. And you get to enjoy your dog.
That's, yeah,
you know, it's for me, it's a no-brainer.
It's a real bonding time as well, because even if the dog's an absolute arse, it's quite funny. I mean, mine's a nightmare some days, and I just roll my eyes and think, oh, here we go. But and you know, half the time she's doing it for entertainment purposes. But it's lovely. You can't knock it. It's good, and you learn, and everybody's like, and
there's good socialisation there as well with other dogs. I mean, and sometimes you can find two dogs who are sort of completely opposed it or in different directions with their outlook and how they actually react to the training, but they get on like a house on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really good socialisation. And you're learning. You learn loads from other people. Lots of people have had dogs over the years, and they've got, you know, they're a minefield of information that they've forgotten a lot of it, and then things tip up and they go, oh, yeah, I remember that. So it's a well worth thing to do, and I think it's a critical and crucial thing to do if you get a puppy or a rescue dog. Yeah, absolutely. But apart from that, obviously, it is very important to this exercise and to be stifled whilst exercising, in so much as so much, you know, where it's coming up, dogs must remain on lead, dogs must do this and that. It's getting owners, as I say, really hacked off, but it's ultimately going to have mental health problems.
Well, there are fewer and fewer places you can let your dogs off the lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a problem, because dogs do need that space to run.
And a secure field isn't going to cut the mustard. And we can't, in this day and age, you can't keep affording, because if you should be doing this every day with your dog, who can afford a secure field every day? So, you know, you need to be able to take your dog somewhere. Obviously, road walking is great, and lead walking is fabulous, because it does teach your dog, again, lead control and all sorts of other things. But they do need that body stretch.
Well, it's that fun time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, where they can blast. And of course, the other thing is, it's not just cattle and sheep, and I think it's the law has gone now to alpacas and llamas and such like that. But it's ground nesting birds. That's the next thing. So they don't want the dogs all over places where they're ground nesting birds. And you think, well, I find that slightly bizarre because they're letting the sheep and the cattle wander where the ground nesting birds are. So it just strikes me that it's getting very anti-dog.
There's a lot of bucking nature, I think, in all of that stuff. Yeah. Or people think they can. Anyway, I've got to ask you a question now because I saw this afternoon something that said, what is the 333 rule for dogs? And I disregarded it until I came to something else that said, what is the 777 rule for dogs? Have you heard of either of those?
I'm afraid to say I haven't, actually. No.
Okay. Well, I printed it off, actually, the 777 rule, and it's core components of dog development. And it covers seven key components: surfaces, objects, locations, people, challenges, food sources, and experiences. Each of these elements plays a significant role in your dog's ability to adapt, learn, and interact with the world around them, which I'm guessing, if you were to break it down, is probably a full session of a full term or two of dog training.
Well, yes, it is. A lot of that is for puppies, for getting them used to surfaces. And yeah, so when you first have a puppy, it's becoming aware of stuff. So so they obviously put it under a heading of 777. And what was the 333?
I didn't print that one off, but I just thought, oh, we're getting an internet trend here. Next there'll be an 888 and a 444 and all these sorts of things. But when I looked at the 777 one, makes reasonable sense actually of what they're talking about. I'm not quite sure the understanding of surfaces though.
Well, surfaces, if you've got a young dog, a lot of puppies don't even know some of the rescue dogs like you and I've got, they don't even know what grass is about. And so there's all sorts of, and slippery surfaces, you know, you've got these, we've got a laminate floor, and one of our friend's dogs, when she stays, she panics going from the kitchen to the dog room. Some days she's fine, and other days she tries to leap about like a gazelle, or she just freezes. So it's about, some dogs can get really funny about different surfaces. They only have to, and older dogs obviously can get funny. So it's that and all the different surfaces that are out there. There's loads of different surfaces we don't really realise because we've got shoes on most of the time. I'm
going to say our Rita isn't worried about floor surfaces. She just makes them dangerous herself by drinking copious amounts of water and splashing lots of it on the floor, so that you walk into the kitchen and whoop, over you go.
Yeah, fall over backwards. So that's a classic Labrador thing. Somebody else's husband did that a few months ago and he went flying.
I did the other week as well.
Ouch.
I've still got the bruises to prove it. Anyway, Wendy, I think we've just about run out of time. Ooh. Unless you've got anything. It goes very quickly, doesn't it?
Well, it's just funny that we do the 777 thing. Somebody said to me the other day, oh, I'm doing the 180. And you think, oh, God, here we go.
What's that, a dance?
Yeah. Well, no, the 180 is basically you turn around and walk the other way. And you think, why couldn't you have just said that? So, I despair.
Old school, proper old school, that is. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, there's the English language and there's the, well, English language.
There's the AI language. And also, just be careful. We've got Easter coming up. Be careful with your dogs and Easter eggs and the foil wrappings around the Easter eggs. Make sure you eat them and not the dog.
Yeah, that's sound advice. No chocolate for the dog. Well, not that sort of chocolate anyway. Wendy, have a good Easter yourself, won't you? And because it is, well, it's next, it's this weekend coming, isn't it?
It's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, Good Friday. Yeah.
Lovely.
They're making me work this Friday, so I shall be on air on Friday.
It's outrageous.
It is. It's absolutely outrageous. Never mind. Wendy, good to catch up this morning, and we will catch up with you again in a month's time. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Cheers, Wendy.
Cheers, bye.